If you or someone you care about has cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is here to help from day one. Macmillan's free online forum provides a safe space to get support from both experts and others who've been there. Members support each other anonymously, sharing what's helped them on a range of subjects, from dealing with side effects such as hair loss and fatigue, to money worries and managing work, or talking with children about a diagnosis. There are different forums on cancer types or experiences, opportunities to ask an expert, and blog posts. Find support 24/7 from people who get what it's like to have cancer. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
This episode is brought to you by Disney Plus.
Set in the picturesque Cotswolds, Rivals dives headfirst into the ruthless world of British television in 1986.
Where shoulder pads are big and ambitions are even bigger.
Based on the best-selling novel by Dame Jilly Cooper, the new series follows ex-Olympian and incorrigible rake Rupert Campbell Black in his long-standing feud with the controller of Corinium Television, Tony Battingham.
Starring David Tennant and Alex Hassel, egos rage, fame calls, power commands, opponents clash, and rivalries run rampant.
Everyone wants to get on top. Rivals, an original series streaming October 18, exclusively on Disney+. Copyright 2024 Disney and its related entities. 18 plus subscription required.
I feel like I'm missing out because everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling flaky salt or fine art prints, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels, from a shop front ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And thanks to award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/Wondery, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/Wondery to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/Wondery.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old broads, guys. Hi, I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Benuni.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing so great. I'm in the car office today. Today they're putting up a fence, and I have a front row view to watch them put up a fence. So
Wow. That's
what I'm going to be doing during this recap. And if some of you are like, wow, is that putting up a fence more exciting than Real Housewives of New York City? Sometimes. What can I tell you? But here we are. And both things are wonderful. I'm grateful for both things. Both the Real Housewives of New York and these fence people. Ben, what's going on with you today?
Well, I am also grateful for your fences. Good fences make good neighbors, right? Is that what they say?
Fences is also a great August Wilson play, although a little bit depressing.
And a very good adaptation of a film as well. Also, it's the second half of the title of a great TV show starring your nemesis, Kathy Baker. Picket Fences.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. One of our first bonding points was over Picket Fences.
Yes. Great show that I think younger generations are not aware of because it doesn't seem to exist anywhere on TV. But
I'm keeping the younger generations here right now. I'll tell you that.
Let me tell you something. If we need to talk about Costas Mandalore, I'm here. Is that was his name? Costas Mandalore? Was it Costas Mandalore?
But you missed your chance. So everybody, welcome to the show. Today is a super exciting day because we're all here. We're all here together. Okay. You can watch us on video over at patreon.com. That's also where you get our bonus episode. Sorry, I'm just laughing because I'm such an asshole. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm laughing because I just remembered. I just had a sudden flashback of going to a bar once in Hollywood and Costas Mandalore was actually there. And my friend took a photo with him.
Great story. You should put that in
Costas Mandalore
in your book.
Who was like, I got to get a photo with Casas Mandalore?
Definitely put that in your book.
It was my friend Michelle, who you know. So you can now imagine the entire image.
Okay, so Patreon is where you get the videos, the episodes. It's also where you get...
You're seeing it. You're seeing Michelle, who we went to Ireland with. You're seeing her going up to Costas.
Your celebrity stories are always the best celebrities. You're like, wait. So one time, I was on an escalator, and I saw Kathy Baker.
Well, no,
awesome.
But
then what happened?
I honestly
it was really exciting.
I think a story about how you saw Casas Mandalore at a bar and then your friend said, I need to take a photo with him. I think that's enough of a story because I think the Casas Mandalore of it does all the heavy lifting.
That's true. And also, I love his world market. I go there all the time. Okay. So, yes. So go to Patreon for video. Also, if you don't want to pay for Patreon, we totally get. First of all, Patreon is annoying because, sorry, Patreon, but the way we set up, set up in the very beginning. And so it looks like it's per episode and that we're greedy fucks. We're really not that greedy. We have big instructions there that say set your amount. That means cap your amount in your setting. So cap it. If you pay one time, you get everything. So if you pay for one video, you get all the videos, if that makes any sense. Anyway,
basically, you don't have to. You can just say, I only want to pay $5 a month.
And that's then you can do it. You get all the bonuses. That being
said, we're streamlining the whole process anyway, and soon this will not even be an issue.
It'll get better. It's like the Trevor Project for websites. It'll get better. It gets better. So that, and also the bonuses right now are Below Deck Sailing Yacht. We've got too much on the schedule. We moved that one over, not because it's the least or the worst or whatever. But we still love it. It still gets full, fantastic recaps. It's just something had to go, and that was it.
Well,
so that's over
other
there.
Other shows are already in the, like, they're already mid-season, and that one's just starting up.
Right. So go over there to get those. And also, if you don't want to pay for Patreon, all of our videos become free for everybody 1 week later over on YouTube. So if you want to get a sampling or you just want to spend a Saturday cleaning and having our big heads bobble around on your TV, bullshitting about housewives, go watch all of our YouTube videos. You are going to fucking love it, people. Okay, let's get into it. That's enough Costas and self aggrandizement.
Costasing Mandalorian, everyone. So what's really funny to me about Real Housewives of New York is that I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying Sai this season. Like, this doesn't, I just never saw a path forward for her. And yet I'm enjoying her. I'm actually also on her side. But what I'm even enjoying more is that last season when we had our reboot, there were, I swear to God, AI bots on Twitter that were like, yes, Brynn is everything. Brynn is mother. You know, like whatever her tagline was about, like, make me mad, I'll date your dad. Everyone was like, that is iconic. Oh my God, the new cast is amazing. She's so great. Blah, blah, blah. And I was always like, I find her to be relatively annoying. And like at times I think she can be actually a really great housewife, but like a lot of times I find her to be annoying. I'm so relieved that when I went onto Twitter last night to see what people are saying about the show, everyone has finally come around and everyone's like, she's the worst. She's so annoying. She's so, they're like, she's just like sex kitten or like spoiled brat. And I
love that you're relieved that someone's getting so much internet hate. I have to say, and I'm not just being contrary for fun and just because I'm a Mary and because it rhymes, but because I like her. I mean, I liked her last year and I like her this year. I think she's exactly the same as she was last year. I think my biggest shock is that everyone's acting like, oh, Brynn sucks now. Brynn has not changed.
She has not changed.
At all. She's exactly the same as she was last year. So I'm confused as to why people, I guess what you're saying is that it was probably bots or something. But aren't we kind of as gays sometimes bots? Because I feel like sometimes we're like that, where we're just like, yes, we all read each other's Instagram. We're like, oh my God, we like this today. Like,
oh my God,
I guess the whole world is like that. Not just the gays. I'm just a gay. So that happens to be my feed. But I was reading a thread the other day of someone going off on how much they hate Brynn. And everyone was totally dogpiling on. And then a gay came in there. He's like, whatever. She's gay coded. We don't need you to like her. She is mother. She is like, literally, it was like we're always joking about. She is mother. She is icon. And I thought, well, good for the gay. You know, we'll hold on for someone we love. You know, we will.
Of course, we will definitely hang on.
I don't know that she's one of my gay icons, but I enjoy Brynn, and I actually feel bad for her that she's getting so much hate
right
now.
I feel bad.
I don't think she's done anything to deserve it.
I'm not cheering that she's getting hate. I don't want, I actually, believe it or not, as much as we like will shit on people, I am aware that these people are humans, and I do kind of feel bad the idea that someone opens up their internet and their Twitter, and then they're just like, people like, I hate you. You know, like, I'm not cheering that she is receiving hate. I'm cheering that people are finally realizing, you know, like, well, there's not like, it's just her, like, there's not much there, you know, except there is there. Actually, that's what's frustrating, is that there is there, but she just masquerades it in this sort of like annoying put on persona. And when she drops it, she's just so much more compelling. And so I'm glad that I feel like last year everyone's like, oh my God, she's like talking about sex. And she has a funny tagline. She's like, mother, she's iconic. And I'm like, no, she's like annoying and moronic.
I don't know. I like her. I find her charming. And she does do the, you know, whole like, she does do that whole thing. But she does it well, I have to say. And all of the people that do it, she does the caricature pretty well. So I like her. And also I feel bad because, you know, everybody knows that she's so sensitive. Like, she literally will come on and comment, not on our page, but on other things, being like, oh my God, why are we, you know, getting pissy, or how dare you call me a sugar mama or a sugar baby or whatever. She reads it and she gets upset. So I don't know. I feel kind of bad for her, but at the same time, also, you know, she's kind of a mystery that's already been solved. So it's weird. And I'm so sorry to bring this back to a CBS old person show, but you know, those CBS old person mysteries, they still play, like they make, like Elsbeth. Elsbeth is like a character from The Good Wife, and it's just like a quirky lady that no one ever sees her coming because she's just a lady, so she's always underestimated. I think those are so cute. Like, I love Elsbeth as a character and all this, and I watched that, but they have this thing where it's one of those where they show you the murderer at the beginning. Why are you laughing? Because I'm talking about Elsbeth.
I can't wait to see how you're going to draw a parallel between Bryn and Elsbeth on CBS.
So Elsbeth, so they show you the killer at the very beginning, and it's hard to stay involved in it because you already know who the killer is. And it's watching the killer try to get, and a lot of them do that now, so they don't have to write a compelling mystery. You know, a lot of the mystery shows do that. And Bryn is like that. I mean, in season one, she totally came on. She's like, oh my God, I'm just a girl. Nobody sees me coming. And then she gave away her whole thing. She's like, you know, sometimes I overplay the cutesy, sexy thing because I have daddy issues and abandonment issues. And I was like, oh, okay. So now it's like watching the rest of the episode of Elsbeth. It's like still kind of the same cute character, but I already know the mystery. Like, there's nothing more there. You know what I mean? Like, bring me the Kathy Bates Matlock. That's what I'm saying.
No, not the Kathy Bates Matlock. It's not good.
I loved it.
Really? I didn't. Yes. I was really, I didn't like it. We're just going to talk about all the CBS shows.
No, like, you know, no, that's it.
Add another thing, Blue Bloods.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
I just think that, I think if I could like articulate my position maybe more clearly, it's not that I'm happy that she's receiving hate. I'm just happy that I feel like people are seeing through the Emperor's New Clothes a little bit. And I
I get you. I get you. You don't have to explain. You're clear. You know?
No, it's not. It's just for people who are listening who might still, you know, I was like, she's a moron. She's really not a moron. I think she's actually very smart.
Welcome to our show. We're going to be doing it the rest of the episode. So
yeah,
don't worry.
Anyway, Costas Mandalore. What an actor.
We open at Costa Mandalore's house. Okay, so we open at Aaron's Hampton's home. Now, while we're talking, you know, about the nitty gritty of this show, not even doing a recap yet, why have they chosen this as their tent pole? Like, hey guys, this is like just like Dorinda's Berkshires. No, it's not. It's nothing like the Berkshires. The last trip to the Hamptons was so fucking lame. It was terrible. It was one of the worst things we'd ever seen on Housewives. One of the worst trips we'd ever seen. And so you decided to do it again. And I mean, just to show you like how it goes along with the cast, Aaron's like, hey everyone, it's totally different now, look at my different kitchen. And they show the before and after. It's the same fucking thing, Aaron. Okay,
I know, it's like one marble swapped out for another. Like, I sat there, I put it on pause, and I looked at the two side by side, and I was like, this is almost an identical kitchen. But also, like, I mean, who else has a house out there? Jenna, I think, has a house, but she's never gonna let all these monsters in there. And who else has a house? Does anyone else have a house out there? Maybe Becky Minkoff, Squint Palace. But I don't know.
From last year, it looked like only Aaron and Jenna.
So it has to be Aaron by default.
Yeah. So, so sad. Yeah, but why do they have to do it? You know what I mean? Go somewhere else. So it's just like, don't return to the scene of the crime, I guess is my point.
I do think it's appropriate that Aaron lives in a place called Sag Harbor, because that really just represents her personality sometimes. Sagging Drag Harbor.
No, Drag Harbor would be fun, I guess. Sag Harbor.
Yeah, Drag Harbor would be too. Sagging Harbor is just like a sad place where you end your fun cruise. You have to come back to the harbor. Normally, harbors are beautiful and wonderful, but when you say Sag Harbor in the context of Aaron's personality, it's just like the worst aspects of a harbor.
Yeah.
Just sadness and strange smells.
Aaron is the worst harbor for sure.
He's the worst. She's the harbor that they show during hurricane footage. Like, look at those boats. She's a saggy harbor.
There's always a newscaster standing knee deep in Aaron on a hurricane.
There's always a newscaster standing at the edge of Aaron with an umbrella saying, "There's still people out here. They've told everyone to evacuate."
Okay, so she's on the phone with Abe, and she's like, I'm really making an effort this time because everybody was so upset last time about the food. So now there's food, and then we see the counter, and there's a cornucopia of charcuterie. And then there's like a tray of like Subway sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, it was admittedly, I clocked that food before she even said it. I said, oh, she brought the food this time. She's like, I'm not going to let these people take me down. There was a lot of food. So that's good,
it must be so weird to be like in the middle of something that you just don't understand that well, you know? Like, it's like me just standing in the middle of a room, or it's like me standing in a gym, basically. Let's face it. It's like me standing around at all the workout equipment, you know?
It's like when Costas Mandalore auditioned for Elsbeth. It's like, well, it's not really your lane. He auditioned for the title character. It was weird.
So the helicopter silliness. Brielle's like, oh my god. Brynn's like, oh my god. I hit champagne, but then I spilled the champagne.
I'm wet.
And then Sai.
I'm wet. I'm wet now. You made me wet. What is Jenna here?
So while she's soaking up all that champagne, then Sai and Uber are driving, and they're having some sort of like, I can't tell if this is real banter or like, look, we're having fun banter, but they are, driving, and Uber apparently on her side has super high heat, and Sai is really upset. She's like, why do you have to heat so high up there? Why are you gonna, I can't drive, it's too hot. I'm gonna pass out on the highway.
You're a terrible driver. I'm gonna give you 0 stars. How could you? I need the heat. So then there is a game between them called Hangry.
Yes, kind of funny. And thank you, by the way, producers. This is what we call growth. Sai brought this gag game, or I think she actually later said it was her lunchbox. So it may have actually been her lunchbox. Whatever it was a box that said Hangry on it. It was in the center console. And the producers spared us like a moment where she like held it up and did like a whole interview thing where like, this is my thing for Hangry. I was like, thank you for just like letting it be there in the background and we could just move on.
Yeah.
Unlike this moment right now.
Yeah. Cause this cast acts like they've been on for 20 years where they're already doing the greatest hits. You know how the Real Housewives of New York regular went on that trip show or whatever. And yes. Everything was like, whoa, you know what? I support other women. Right, everybody? Do you remember when I said that? Hey, everybody, turtle time, okay? And they're like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. And Luann would just be like, hey, girls, let's be cool. Don't be all uncool. Am I right? And they just, like, did all their greatest hits. And that's, this cast is already doing it. It's only your second year. You guys don't get a fucking clue. This isn't a cabaret in Branson. You know what I mean? We're not, like, celebrating your career.
Man. Yeah. Also, something that really caught my eye was that for some reason, Sai had an enormous pot in the back seat, and it was never explained. And I wonder
if she's ready to cook. She's ready to fucking cook if she needs to over there. Wouldn't you? I mean, psychosis. Psychosis? That's not what I mean. It's psychosis. What is it when you do the same thing over and over
insanity.
And expect different results? Insanity. Yeah. That's what insanity is. You know,
yeah,
she's learned her lesson. She's bringing a fucking pot. It's like watching this show.
It'll be funny this time. Actually, no, for real, I do think it's better this season.
It's making me laugh. I'm enjoying it.
I will say this. Even though last season I thought was a monstrosity, I had so much fun recapping it. Like, we cracked ourselves up all of last season. So that's not nothing. Anyway, so let's talk more about this pot. Anyway, so they're driving.
So Uva's arm hurts because she's stressed, and she's stressed because she has a hot rich boyfriend now. I mean, yes. You just can't fucking win in the world. You know what I mean? I feel like God is sitting up there like, can I do anything right? Is anybody just fucking happy anymore? I sent you all that you gave a shit about in your life, a hot rich person, and you're still bitching? Your arm hurts, really? Because you have to paint a room? She's like, oh my God, but he's letting me paint a room. That's so much pressure. It's not. Okay? You can paint a room. If he doesn't like it, he'll hire someone else to paint over it. It's not really that big of a deal.
Classic stress arm. That's what happens.
That's it. Like, arm. Oh God, I must be worried.
Oh no, I have a room to paint in Greenwich, Connecticut. my stress arm is acting up. So,
and she's like, it's so sweet, but I'm also like, are you trying to lock me in this gate?
I mean, that is a concern, I suppose.
That's a good gate.
It's a good gate, though.
That's a good gate. Yeah. You know? Get locked.
What do they call it when you're in like a some like diamond crusted birdcage? There's a phrase for like when you're like locked in like
a gilded cage.
Gilded cage.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a bar they'd go to. We're going to Gilded Cage tonight. So, Say is like, well, this is what your problem is, you know, you get opportunities and then you freak out and then you want to throw them away and like, I just want you to surrender sometimes. And, Uber's like, yes, well, yes. I'm so grateful for Oliver. You know, his feet is the most, he has the most beautiful feet. And then she talks about his feet and rubbing them and how they smell and all the stuff that really makes for compelling TV.
You're talking about feet now? That is disgusting. What are you talking about feet? What are you doing with his feet? That is disgusting. I'm not going to be able to eat anymore. Just kidding. It's my storyline. What are we kidding?
Yeah. Starts like shoving like gummy worms in her mouth. So then we go to Jessel, Rebecca, and Bryn coming to the house. Everyone hugs. Everyone's like, oh my God, you look so great. Where'd you get your clothes? Oh my God, where'd you get your clothes? Oh my God, where did you get your fucking clothes?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Who can I talk to?
Can anyone relate to what I'm going through?
Who else understands what it's like to have cancer?
Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer with people you know. You just want to talk with someone who knows how you feel. Open 24/7, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is a safe space to connect with people who understand what it's like to have cancer. It's free to use and anonymous. From day one, whatever you need to get off your chest, community members are available day and night to offer support on the online forum. Talk openly and honestly with people who've been there too. You're not in this alone. We're here to help. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Turning an idea into a small business doesn't happen by accident. You need to be all in. At Constant Contact, we have the digital marketing tools you need to get the word out, close the sale, raise the funds, and gather a community around this thing you've built. So let's do this together. Let's send this, share this, and shout this from the rooftops. Let's segment this, automate this, and AI this for real results fast. Let's get out of this what we put into this. Let's build this. Let's grow this. Let's win this. Get started today at ConstantContact.com.
So then Aaron's like, look, everybody, I got so much fucking food.
Yeah. So we see these like canoes of charcuterie on her table, on her island. And then this is where they're pointing out that like, oh, my God, you redecorated. And again, we see the side by side and the white backsplash is now white with some some dark veining in it. The faucet has gone from like having a certain sort of arc in it to a very similar arc in it. Like everything is basically the same. And Jess is like,
it's basically the equivalent of Aaron's haircut last week. She's like, oh my God, I'm getting my haircut.
I'm a new person. So Jessel's like, listen, Miss Interior Designer, stepped it up. And here we have a brand new spanking kitchen. I mean, there's like a new cabinet situation and sink taps. I mean, who doesn't want a sink tap? I mean, I'd rather have a sink tap for a husband and poverty, that's for sure.
So then they start having drinks, and Rebecca, Becky, that's what we call her. You. We know her now. Becky. We totally know her. And because we've known her for two episodes. So Becky's like, I'll have something non-alcoholic. And Brent's like, oh my God, don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. I mean, why are you like this? And she says, oh, I just wake up with the worst headaches. I really do. I'm just swollen. And we've got a couple of people to investigate and try and oust them from their families for leaving the church. So I've really got to have my head in the game this weekend. I'm waiting for a lot of calls. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Totally secret. Everything's totally secret.
So then Uba and Sai arrive. And then Jess is like, what happened to Raquel? And everyone's like, wait. I heard the story about driving up here with Raquel. I called her. And then we see a flashback of Raquel telling Aaron she's driving alone because Sai and Uba wouldn't give up the front seats for her because she gets car sick. So, of course, Aaron is going to go announce this to everyone because that's what she does. And she's like, so I heard you guys wouldn't give up your car seat. You guys would let her sit in the front. And Sai's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Which, by the way, what I didn't understand is Sai's the driver. How could she? How would she? Like, well, she should not be on the line for giving up her seat because she's driving. You know?
Yeah. And, but I mean, I think it's a front seat thing because I have people in my family, my nieces, while I, they're both like, oh my God, I'm so car sick. And so they always have to fight over the front seat. Like, who's going to be more car sick? Because they know ever since they were little girls, if you're car sick, you get the front seat. I mean, my sister, when she was still married to my brother-in-law, would sit in the back seat so her kid could sit in the front. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, she's car sick. I said, that is such bullshit. That is such a new thing that everybody's fucking car sick. I'm sorry. It's an epidemic of car sick people. I've never heard it in my life. Suddenly everybody's car sick and they have to sit in the front seat. No, you're a fucking diva, okay? I'm not saying car sickness this doesn't exist, but it doesn't exist at this level. There's nothing in the water supply that is making everybody fucking car sick. Come on. I'm not falling for it. And this is a bad sign for this chick that she's already like, I'm car sick. I can't take it. Oh, get the fuck out of here, diva. Okay. Well, can't you find gluten to be allergic to or something else, something that everybody else is jumping on? Does it have to be car sickness? Does it have to affect my seating in the car?
Is she helicopter sick also? And also, by the way, if I see her not in the front seat of a car this rest of the season, I'm going to say something. See something, say something.
See something, say. And also, I already feel people typing it out. If you're like, I get any emails like, of course, sickness is real. How dare you? I have it. I'm not saying that you can't have it. I'm saying it's look coming around you and tell me that like 70% of the population is suddenly car sick for no reason. Get the fuck out of here.
Here comes the email. Dear Ronnie, I say this with love. I'm such a huge fan of yours, but when you went on about car sickness, I felt like that was so insensitive. I can't even hold a Matchbox car without wanting to vomit. It is real.
Yes, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to be like, you know, it's when you were talking about Republicanism and car sickness. Okay, just pick a lane, you know?
Well, that's the problem. People are changing lanes too much.
Yeah.
It's making me vomit. Raquel,
I feel like this is a terrible angle for my breasts. I'm going to change my angle.
By the way, the irony of you ranting about people being in the front seat while you were literally recording for the front seat of your car.
Fuck yeah. And if my niece came in here like, I'm sorry, you have to record in the back seat or I'll throw up. I'll be like, throw up. Okay? Just do it out the fucking window. Throw up so I at least have proof for once in my life that you're really car sick. Everybody's fucking car sick. Her dogs are probably car sick too.
Probably, actually. Do you get car sick on motorcycles, by the way? Is that possible?
That would be terrible, right? That's really the worst place to get car sick.
Maybe you're just allergic to something at that point. So she didn't come. She didn't ride with them because she gets car sick. She also didn't take the helicopter because I don't know why not. I think it's fair to say she just doesn't really like anyone on the cast yet. So she just wants to be by herself. That's what my takeaway is.
Yeah, I think when you're really rich and you have a luxury car, the thought of spending all this time driving with a bunch of people you don't really know in the backseat, like having girl time, may not be her thing just yet. You know, she needs to warm up. But also, you just join a cast of people, so you need to show the fuck up and get in the car. No one's going to get to know you driving alone, listening to your book on tape that you still have to return to the Cracker Barrel a year later and then pay a $90 fee for.
Okay. Dune. So Erin, she's like, sorry, I need to see what happens with Paul. I did finish Dune, by the way, in case anyone was wondering. I finished it when we were in Europe. Remember, I was so excited, and then I tried to donate it to various bookshops, and no one would take it.
They're like, I'm sorry, this is the most difficult book ever. Well, we don't want to put even the people that buy discount books through this.
Okay? Well, I also was like, oh, here's a place for used books. So I walked in, and all the books were like from 1612, because it's London. You know, in America, the old books are like from 1988.
Like Rush Limbaugh.
Well, no, if you could have seen this man in his sweater looking at me when I was like, do you accept donations? And I thrust forward my copy of Dune, my paperback copy of Dune, which had been like wrinkled from being carried around in my bag for so many months. It's like this pop culture thing. And every book in there is dusty and old and leather bound. And this fuddy duddy looks at him, he's like, I'm sorry, we will not take that.
Yeah, I will not take it.
Unfortunately, you're also American. Please leave.
Well, don't say I didn't try, Costas. So
it's good to see Costas working.
Uba and Bryn come in, or Uba and what's her buns come in, and Sai, and they're like, "But where's Raquel? Is Raquel coming?" And so they're talking about all that. You already said this part, and Sai's like, "Oh my god, what the fuck? I've literally been here for 2 seconds, and I'm feeling awkward. And with Bryn as it is, now I have an issue with Raquel. Jesus." Makes me not want to eat ever. Just kidding. Who am I kidding? I'm angry. It's right here. Trademark.
Bryn's like, is she like crying in her car driving here listening to a podcast? I'm like, that sounds like a great time to me personally.
I know. I love that she gets a podcast diss in there.
It's like, oh my god, it's right crying listening to podcasts like sad people do.
Like a car, like driving a long distance by yourself is like the time to cry and listen to things.
Fuck yeah. This is my dream. I go to the Home Goods in Glendale just so I can have time to sit there and listen to a fucking podcast in my car. I love it.
Yeah. So shout out to everyone who's listening to us on the LIE. Driving and crying.
Yeah. Especially the Hamptons, special gold star. So I was like, wait a minute.
Hold on. I've got evidence here. All right. Look, it's a phone. It says, look, I said, we're driving. She said, hi, do you have room for one more? I said, let's ride. You're going to have to meet me at the house though. She says, what time? I said, 9:30. We're driving. She says, my only problem is I get really car sick. I might have to drive. That's it. I said, can you take Dramamine? Non-drowsy ones? Does that work for you? Car sickness is the worst. Get some Dramamine.
And she's like, see, I told her she could come. I'm like, yeah, but to someone who's very delicate, I mean, this lady's like, I'm an artist and I collect art. And I told you in the first recap, I read her bio on something. It's like, one of the first queer artists of the blah, blah, blah. The way she talks about herself, she seems very self-serious. And when you're telling someone who's very self-serious that they just need to stop and get some Dramamine, they're not going to take that well. They're going to be like, oh, well, I guess that's all I had to do. It's not a serious condition that I'm dealing with. I'll drive myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, I mean, that looks pretty, like, I was like, this looks like pretty, you know, pretty damning evidence that that there was never any request to sit in front seat. So then
it is, yes.
So then Sai's like, yeah, I never heard back. So like, that's weird. So they're talking about this and you know,
Rebecca's like, it's not like you left without her. I mean, why is she acting like that? Like, yeah, what's going on?
And Uber's like, oh my god, do you believe this? Telephone.
This is a foreshadowing of Uba's later meltdowns. There's something about her and telephones on vacations that really makes her go wild. Yeah,
telephones are a trigger for sure. So, and Aaron's like, I just felt really bad that everyone's driving separately. And then Jenna drove alone too. And so I was like, yeah. Okay, what's the room situation? All right, let's just get to that. Let's get to that while these self-drivers are still trying to get here. Jesus Christ.
So then we see footage of Sai getting stuff out of her car. Like, she's getting like a rack. She's bringing out her pot, you know, like actual cooking pot. And then Jenna shows up, like, hi, Jenna, and everything. And everyone's sort of showing up. And then Brennan's being like cutesy with Jenna and stuff. And then, you know, and then Brynn is asking if everything's good with Uba, because she's like, she was like bummed out about like the fighting or whatever. And Uba just was like, Uba's saying that it's been like, it's been a tough 3 months. And Brynn's like, I'm sorry. And Uba's like, no, by the way, I was really upset when I found out you left your party, you know. It's a really uninteresting conversation, let's be honest. I'm sitting here reading it. I'm like, what is...
Brynn's basically like, well, I left because everyone was yelling at me. And she's like, but it was your party. She goes,
yeah, but I do want to make up with Sai. I don't want to fight with Sai. I love Sai. Okay, I just don't want to bring it up right now. Can you barter that? Can you trade me for someone that Sai likes?
So then, meanwhile, Raquel arrives. And Sai's like,
wait, Raquel, why didn't you want to come with us?
And she's like, oh, well, because, you know, I couldn't sit in the back and I would have gotten really sick and the Dramamine just would have been crazy. And Sai's like, but why didn't you ask? She's like, well, when I said, would I would have to drive, you were like, oh, you can take Dramamine. So I was like, okay. She's like,
well, I thought you were going to drive your own car. You want to drive my car? Are you serious? Sick.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to drive my car. I thought you meant you could drive your own car. You could drive your own car.
You might need to drive your car.
Hell no.
As well. Or maybe she was saying, I'll come pick you guys up and I'll drive. But she didn't say that. So I think it's totally reasonable that Sai interpreted it the way she did. And I think that Raquel... I think it's a little pretty shady that she then calls up Aaron and said they wouldn't give up the seats for me, so I had to drive alone. I was like, that is a leap.
Well, I think she's sensitive. I'm gonna stick with my original thing that she got sensitive about her being like, just take some Dramamine. I think she was like, okay, well, I guess these people are not going to be sensitive to my needs, so I will be finding my own transportation. Mm-hmm. But we'll see, because she doesn't say it. She's just like, okay, and then she drops it. She's like, a misunderstanding, you know. And I'm like, you're not going to last. Okay? Because you drove alone, and now you're not going to have a fight when you were probably being sensitive. So I need more from you. I'm gonna say that right now.
And
make an effort.
Probably for the rest of the season. So then Brynn is... So Uba's trying to now facilitate a Brynn and Sai kind of moment. And so she's like saying, are you going to talk to Sai, to Brynn? And Brynn's like,
well, I'm trying, Uma, because I'd rather do it sooner, because I don't want to be awkward. I just want to fucking have friends with us, you know? But like, I don't want to come back like with anger. I do come back wet.
So then Uba's like, well, what would you say? And the thing about Uba is she's saying all this. She's making Brynn talk about it. But then later she's going to act like, oh, my God, no one will stop talking to me about it. You're literally making her talk to you're kind of forcing the issue. Like, what are you going to say? Why did you leave? Why are you? You're kind of doing the arguing for Sai. And then you're mad that everybody's dragging you into it. It's weird. So then she's... Sai comes over and basically they call her into a talk, right? Yeah. And so Uba keeps everybody else away.
And
nice.
And she's like, hi, Winnie Pooh Pooh. I haven't seen you. We haven't talked together. I'm just a baby. You can't be mad at a baby. Do you have any milk on your boobies? Ren, seriously. Stop slobbering on my shoulder. Just say what you gotta fucking say already. Okay,
I want us to be friends, and, like, I want this to go really, very quickly, and, like, I don't want you to feel, like, upset at me, and for any way that I've hurt you, and I just want to be, like, all the ways that I've hurt you, like, truly to God, like, I think you've expressed it to me, and, like, I'm just, like, really sorry, and, like, I don't want to hurt you, especially because I'm so wet.
So size...
She's like, I really appreciate your apology, but I feel like you never even heard my side. So again, like, we're kind of like brushing things and my feelings under the rug, and you never even heard me talk to you. Like, I was furious at your party.
Why?
Well, you know, I really appreciate that you invited me there, but like Jenna told me that you told her that I hate her. Like she said, I hate her. And so like, I'm like, what were your intentions by saying that?
And she goes, okay, Jenna.
And she calls Jenna to come in. Oh my God. Jenna doesn't need to be there to clarify anything. Sigh. You said you don't like Jenna. You admitted to Jenna's face that you don't like Jenna. Bryn, you did go tell someone some fucking gossip and tried to start some shit. Why are you guys still fighting over this? Why?
I don't understand why the conversation is not, you know what? I never said that I hated Jenna. I said that she like annoyed me and I've gotten over it and I've talked to Jenna about it, but it frustrates me that if I told you that in like a cone of like trust when I was venting that you went and told Jenna, that felt like a betrayal. Just say that.
Right. And then, it's not even and about then, the actual Bryn situation.
Bryn can just say, I understand that, but she was hearing it from all ends. So like, I happen to be one of many people. So like, yeah, probably shouldn't have done that. But just so you know, like when you talk shit about people, it's going to get back to them. And that's squashed.
Which is basically what Jenna does. She's like, oh my God. So Jenna comes and she's like, uh-oh, hi. Oh God, hi. Hi, it's me, Jenna. Oh. I don't know. Am I on TV? Are those cameras on? This is so awkward. And Sai's like, okay, I said, Jenna, who told you that I hate you? And she goes, oh, well, I didn't specifically call Bryn. I didn't say Bryn. I didn't say the word Bryn. She goes,
you did, Jenna. You did.
Nope. I didn't say the word Bryn. And then we see her say at the party, this girl over here. And she shrugs. She kind of shrugs her shoulder and points behind her. So Technically, she did not say the word Bryn. And if this season is going to come down to people squabbling over one word,
they will.
I'm gonna have a problem. Okay, you said it, Jenna. You fucking said it too. Yeah, now you're full of shit too.
Jenna's
lying. Take you long.
And she's like, you know, listen, the number of people who have given me feedback and said to me that you've said things about me, like it's just out of control.
She's like, well, I understand that, but Bryn was one of them.
And she goes, well, I'm not saying that she wasn't one of them, but I certainly didn't highlight or call her out. And if I did, I don't remember that. And she's like, well, you did do that.
Yeah, she goes, you did. And then she tells us, bitch,
listen, what can you do with an old lady who can't remember anything?
So she is so wrong for that.
She's so wrong. Like, Jenna's like only like 7 years older than Sai.
Yeah. She's so wrong for that. But also, I love that she's like,
I wouldn't say anything like that. Why would I, fucking old lady, stupid old lady?
Crazy old lady, you're supposed to wear those originals.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Beat her up. What'd you say?
You watch Elsbeth.
This isn't a Kathy Bates show, you fucking idiot. Pay attention. So she's like, what am I going to do? Beat her up till she remembers? I mean, I got to let it go. I'm not the problem, okay? You're the problem, Bryn. You're the problem.
No, you're also the problem because you're going around saying, I hate Jenna. Also, I find it funny that everybody hates Jenna, but nobody will just say, Jenna, we don't like you. And Jenna seems like nervous and all that, or not nervous anymore. She's more confident, but she seems like, I don't know, less star quality or diva like than the rest of them in a lot of ways. But I love that Jenna's just like, okay, so basically you're saying everybody here hates me. Okay, well that's fine. Can I get back to the charcuterie? Sounds great. Literally just bought a $250,000 car, so
yeah. I'm sorry, I'm still in a state of distress over the fact that I had to watch my son climb a few notches up a rock wall last week. It's just really scary.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
So Jenna's basically like, well, you know, like, you know, she basically, Bryn's like, did I ever say this? Did I say that Sai hates you? And Jenna's like, well, you know, like just that she's talked shit about me, which, you know, by the way, it's come back to me from so many different people. And it's also on TV. And so, you know, but Bryn's like,
so when you told me on multiple occasions, Sai is talking shit about me, people in my circle say Sai is talking shit about me, Sai. So after like,
and she starts, Bryn actually starts to explain what her reasoning, but then Sai interrupts. She's like,
oh, then you added in.
And Bryn's like, well, she's like, you're going to make this about like, oh, you can just jump over the fact that blah, blah. And they just start to bicker in a whole different direction now.
Right, and what Bryn says actually makes sense, that Jenna was saying, I keep hearing that everyone hates me, and this girl was like, yeah, it's true. Sorry, whatever it is. And that conversation sounds a lot less damning, for sure, on Bryn's part. But, you know, we know it's not, because they all gossip, so that's the problem. Like, you can't get mad about this petty shit if you're all going to do it. We're going to be here all day, you know? So then Bryn's like, okay, I'm sorry.
It eventually gets to, like,
Aaron comes now. Now Aaron comes. Or no, Aaron, Sai's talking to Aaron.
Well, but no, Aaron's sort of sitting in there and, like, trying to mediate, and she's really not doing a good job. And, you know, Bryn's doing this whole thing of, like, okay, wow, so, like, 70 people talk shit about Jenna, like, say that you hate her, and then I'm the 71st one, so, oh, my goodness. And then Sai's like, why are you so rude? And
it was so funny that this whole fight devolved into, everybody hates her. Literally everybody hates Jenna. Why am I the one in trouble?
Well, so what? So everybody hates her, but I didn't use the word hate. Everybody else did. I just used the word old lady stupid piece of shit face that I hate. Got it. I just said it, didn't I? But back then I didn't. Uh-huh. Well, guess what? I took the bus for the first time since I was in my 20s because I lost my purse. And even the bus driver was like, oh my God, are you on that show? I hate that Jenna. What an idiot. I mean, everybody hates her.
So Jenna basically is like, Bryn and Sai have some like core wounds that they need to heal. I healed mine by buying a $250,000 Bentley.
They have, I was core, like, wounds.
How much do I owe Aaron? And multiply that by 100,000 or 1,000. So she goes, it doesn't matter whether I told you or Aaron told me. It's actually not the point. The fact of the matter is, Sai said it. Got around. Great. Like, who cares?
You're the one who said it. She's like, I didn't say it, dude.
So she just keeps going on, and she's like talking about all the people that hate. She hate her, and she goes,
and Sai said it. We were at Casa Chupirani.
Is that what it's called?
Casa Chupirani.
Casa Chupirani.
Oh, it says Chupirani. I was like, wow, it sounds good to me. Chupirani. So pass those orders around. That means go suck Ronnie. So winner in this situation. Casa House, suck Ronnie.
Bryn is like,
listen, if you had told me you hated Jenna, I would have been like, Jenna, guess what? Sai said it because we were in Casa Chupirani and she said it because, you know, I'd love to stir the pot. Trust me, I would have fucking told her. I would have. Okay, I didn't say it.
So this just keeps going on and on and on. And so she's just, I'm fast forwarding because I can't.
Well, I think that actually that point actually gets through to Sai. And she goes, okay. Okay, I accept that then. I accept that. She's like, okay. That's great. Like, I get it. And then Bryn goes,
yeah, and you're forgiven for screaming at me because of something you thought I said.
And she goes, I'm forgiven. I didn't ask for your forgiveness. She's like, I'm not sorry about that. I love screaming.
Yeah, she goes,
I
don't regret anything. And Bryn's like,
oh, Lord knows you didn't.
She goes, yeah, I don't regret it. And Aaron's like, guys, stop. This is getting worse. I have charcuterie.
I know it's a lot of money, but don't worry. I have a Bitcoin I can cash out. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh, so, Sai's like, wait, Aaron, just stop. So Sai's like, you know, you're not even listening to what happened, what made me feel this way, you know.
All you want to do is stick a pacifier in my mouth and tell me we're cool and then have fun with me. Well, that's toxic, and I'm good.
I mean, Bryn, I do think that, like, opening up, like, a conversation and starting with, like, whatever it is that I did, I'm sorry for it. It's not a great look. You need
classic
to like
terrible him. Apology. She's like, yeah.
I mean, listen, if there's anything I cannot apologize for specifically right now, I would love to do that.
It's like, no. I don't want to hear what I did wrong. Just take my apology so we can move on.
Yes.
So I was like, no, I want to tell you what you did wrong.
Yeah. You have to apologize for what you did. Not just because you not just that somebody reacted in a way that you didn't like to it. You dumb dumb. I'm so sorry. You can't control your emotions about the completely nothing I did to you. Isn't really going to work.
Yeah.
So Sai is still pissed. So then back in the kitchen, Jenna is showing off her diamond. It's vintage, guys. New diamonds, bad. Old diamonds, good.
Yeah. And basically then Aaron, because the argument was not very well resolved, Aaron's like, well, Bryn, maybe you should just like try to hug Sai. I think it'll go well. Hug her. So then Bryn comes like and gives Sai a hug. And Sai's like, fine. If this is what it takes for me to be able to start eating this charcuterie in peace, I will hug this bitch.
What are Aaron's thoughts on the situation? I'm shell shocked. And I'm traumatized, but I'm also very happy. Oddly enough, the look I have for happy is the same look I have for shell-shocked and traumatized.
It's funny because tomorrow I am going to be serving my favorite hybrid of pasta and Israeli food, shell-shakshuka.
So she brings Aaron has gifts for everybody and they're coming on gifts. And then Jenna's like, oh, that reminds me. I'm going to one up Aaron right now. Cause I also, yeah, I did it. I got gifts for everybody. So she brings gifts. And then we just hear a little aside where Rebecca's like, oh yeah, I wore a menstrual cup and then I sneezed and it just all shot out of me.
Like, yeah. She would say the diva cup. And I was like, you know what? I am going to research this before I podcast this time instead of weigh in during the podcast. So I researched what a diva cup is, and now I know. And now her story is much more vivid.
Well, our note taker, Shelby, actually said, in case you boys don't know, a diva cup is a little flexible cup that you put in there when you have your period instead of a tampon or wearing a pad. I use one and absolutely love it. Then you're basically pulling it out and empty it into the toilet. Benefits are you don't have to buy tampons. It's better for your body than putting cotton up there. You can wear it longer. God damn it. Why do I want one now? I think we should bring Shelby on to read our ads. I want one of these things.
Oh, don't tell Deandra Simmons.
She had
a K-cup issue, so I can't even measure the K-cup. Cups. Remember there was a whole storyline about like
I do.
She stuck a K-cup up her butt. Becky Minkoff's story is that she sneezed and her diva cup came out, and they were like, did it look like a murder scene? And so, wow, that is a Becky Minkoff telling the vivid tales. Also, did maybe Becky Minkoff do it wrong? I feel like Shelby.
I don't know.
Teach
I'm not going to get into this. So I refuse. So then Jenna gives everybody lingerie again, and this time it's very, very sexy. And Bryn's like,
I'm putting my underwear on my head. We're just girls.
And then Jessel gets a special present. And it's a Christmas tree costume, you guys, from Party City.
Because last year, Jenna gave her shit about wearing two types of, you know, labels. So she felt bad. So this year, she got her something, like, to make up for. And she gives her, like, a bag that's, like, it's the bag looks like it's going to be something fancy. It looks like Bottega and, like, I don't know, LVP or not LVP. Darling, my new designer scarves. Anyway, this entire gift giving scene and the flashbacks go on for about 3 hours of airtime. And it's wildly thrilling.
So now we get to go see the kids' room or the rooms that Aaron's putting people in. And in London's room, I forgot she had a kid named London. I hope that kid's just always like super ahead in time. It's like, why are you already awake? It's only 1 a.m. Time change, mother.
I hope that kid is just going around and rejecting books that are donated to him or her. Hello, I'm London. Your book is no good here.
Was just singing all of their Broadway shows with an English accent. Like, this is the West End version, mummy.
Hello, mother. I'm off to see Mrs. Doubtfire for the 45th time on the West End.
So, London's room is a drawing of a child on the floor with blood coming out of its mouth, and it was on top of another person. Did it have a knife? I remember this being a terrifying... What was this?
I don't,
was it children's art or was it
I don't know, but art? Weren't they like, whoa, Aaron? And she goes, did I get this wrong? Or did she say, it's okay, my child's educated. They understand it.
No, she said I should change that, I think.
Oh.
She's like, they were like, Aaron, she's like, okay, yeah, I'll change that. I'll change. So I think, I don't remember. So then now they all go get ready for dinner and they're all looking great. And Prince's like,
girls gone wild, Sag Harbor addiction, edition, Uber's boobs are out.
So Jessel's wearing like a little Skims bodysuit that she looks naked in. And she's like, right. Does this look okay? And they're like,
oh my God, your vagina's hanging out of there. She's basically naked.
I love Bryn suddenly becoming prudish after all that. So then they go to Calissa, which I think they went to on Summer House once because I heard that and I was like, we're going to Calissa. I feel like it's a Lindsay Hubbard spot. So they get there and then they start talking and they're joking about how Bryn jokes that Jessel has like a complaining voice. So it projects around across the restaurant and just like, shut the fuck up. I love this play. This was playful banter, right? Or was that an actual criticism? I can't tell.
So they start asking Raquel about herself. And Brent's like,
do you Hamptons a lot? Okay, I'll say it the way rich people try to pretend they're not saying they have a bunch of properties. Do you head out east?
And so Raquel talks about in the 90s, she had a house in West Hampton. And then she talks about how she started out as a collector. She was a model in the 90s and then talks about she was, you know, art by artists of color was not a big thing, but she was into it. So she was collecting it and buying it. And then she started, it was hard for her to get galleries to sell to her. And she dealt with hurdles. And, you know, as an artist of color, they didn't look at you and, you know, they were selling to everyone else. So she faced a lot of discrimination in the art world. And then she built a collection and then the museums were really into the collection. And then it just sort of grew from there. And then people were like, hey, can you help me build a collection now? So she basically overcame a lot of barriers and became the car sick lady she is today.
And Aaron's like, did you meet Mel through the art world? When you have art world parties and Mel's there, do people serve as much charcuterie as I did today?
Were you like, look at that life of the party. I want to talk to that woman.
And Raquel tells them that Mel is a forensic neuropsychologist. And Bryn goes,
oh my God, I just got a boner.
And Aaron's like, yeah, Abe the Babe really liked her. I feel like I didn't speak to her at all, but he said that like she was really cool and that like she might have some Bitcoin assets he can help out with. So that's cool.
So then she talks about her engagement and how they were on this Harley ride or Ducati ride in their case. And it's like the Ducati ride. It's called Ducati Ducks. And and then they're like,
oh my God, wow. You ride motorcycles? Ducatis are pretty expensive. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm sorry, that's not knocking. That's my boner pounding up against the table.
Ducati. So Raquel talks about how they were on this ride with all these people and Mel held her back and proposed in front of the whole motorcycle gang. And Aaron's like, wow, motorcycle gang too?
Cycling hags. So
Erin looks a little disturbed that she's in a motorcycle gang of cat.
We see
she's
video.
Not in a gang, by the way, but Erin calls it a motorcycle.
Are you
gang.
Are you in the Hell's Angels? Did you go to Altamont? So we see the video of this engagement, which is basically Raquel and Mel talking by a motorcycle, and then they start hugging. So that was that. It was very romantic.
So then she shows off her ring, and it's that crazy ring we saw last week. It's like big gold. It looks like big faux gold painted rocks. She's like, it's art. She's like, you know, it's like black diamonds, white diamonds, cognac diamonds. And it's, you know, it's just very me. Just a lot of diamonds.
Jessel is outraged. She's like, if Parfit gave me that, I'd be like, did you get this out of a Kinder Egg? I would think it was a hoax. I was like, send this back to whoever from the Fried Chicken Society of New York City gave this to you and get me a real ring, you idiot.
Parfit gave this to me. I would be sitting there waiting for him to eat it because it's probably some foodie bullshit that he's bought. And Bryn goes, is a giant ring specialist? Kudos.
So they all weigh in. They all weigh in on the ring. They all give us their opinions on the ring. If it feels like we've been talking about this scene forever, it's because it went on forever. But I do feel like, you know, she's new, so it's important to talk about her backstory. Because it is a cool backstory. It's just the scene just went on for a very, very,
so
very
Bryn's
long
like,
time.
Bryn's like, I totally thought you were going to say,
I thought the love story was going to be like, then you stopped, but then you got on the expressway, and then you guys like had this romantic drive, and it was sunset, and then she proposed.
So I was like, oh, okay. So was their story not romantic? She's like, oh, so she got proposed to in front of a bunch of Harley people in a parking lot? Great story. Like, thanks a lot. What the hell?
Yeah. And then Raquel, like, Bryn's like, yeah, like you were driving, and then she slips the ring on your finger, and then suddenly you realize, like, you're engaged. I thought it'd be like that. And Raquel's like, yeah, it would have been dangerous because she needs both hands to drive the motorcycle.
It's just, oh, so you're safety first, lesbians. I want to be a lesbian so bad. I think it's so chic.
We know, Bryn. So Jenna's like, Bryn, I was 43. I mean, how old are you? She's like,
I'm 38.
Like, well, you have time.
TikTok, Jenna, TikTok.
So then they are talking about their plans for tomorrow. They're going to Provisions, okay?
Yeah.
And Uba's like, I already ordered. And Bryn's like, okay, well, that was the best story ever. Now we have to put this one on the spot.
What about your safety, not lesbian, who nobody cares about because you're not lesbian, non-chic person?
Everyone's like, oh, Becky Minkoff is here. So. I love that, like, Rebecca Minkoff, who is, like, a really well-established designer. Like, she literally has a billboard on Melrose Avenue. You know, she's when she was announced on this cast, everyone was like, oh my God, Rebecca Minkoff's from the Real Housewives of New York. Like, what a get. Da-da-da. She's so relegated to, like, sideline. Like, it's like, oh, wait. Okay. Now Rebecca Minkoff, famous person who's on our cast now. Tell us about yourself. It's just so funny. It's like someone just significantly more famous than all of them. They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you're here, too. Tell us about yourself.
Well, listen, I'll tell you something, Ben. I don't know her. I don't know her from Adam. What do I know? What did she come up with for Old Navy? Nothing. Okay? I don't give a shit. Did she come up with any new heather-colored waffle long sleeves for the winter? She sure
did.
So I don't fucking know her. So she can get in line with everybody else, okay? She's not above anybody.
She's listening and squinting with rage at you right now, Ronnie. She's like, oh, really? I didn't design any heather gray waffle for you. Did you not remember the fall 2018 collection, Becky Minkoff for Old Navy? Thanks a lot. Thanks.
I'm literally still wearing it, and none of that was yours, ma'am. Stop lying. I'm still wearing Old Navy from years and years ago. I mean, I've been complaining that they don't have cargo pants anymore. I still have cargo shorts from back in the day when they were original, and now they have them back, and they're not the same. And guess why I know? Because I still have some. Okay. They're not Rebecca Minkoff.
Becky Minkoff for Old Navy.
Okay, so she's like, well, what should I share? I don't know. I was born in San Francisco or San Diego. I moved to Florida as soon as possible. I left.
I was 18. I fell in love with a guy. He had a great apartment. And I was like, we should move in together because you have a great apartment. So.
And Raquel's like, story of New York. Brynn's like,
yeah, I feel like I fell in love with a guy because he had a great apartment too. Wish it was a girl.
So then she basically tells a story about how she fell in love with this guy. He's like, let's move in together. Or she said, let's move in together. And on the eve of them moving in together, he's like, you know what? I'm not into this. And she's like, well, I just moved out of my place. He's like, yeah, you can't stay here. So she's like, okay. So then she tried to go back to her old room. And she's like, can I have my room back? They're like, sorry, we gave it to Brad. And everyone's like, oh, fuck Brad. And he's like, she's like, no, Brad was actually like my ex. He's like really sweet. I love Brad. I lost my virginity to Brad. They're like, aw.
You lost your virginity? She goes, yeah, I lost it at 16 because my parents had this great deal with me where if they said, if you don't do drugs, Becky, we'll get you birth control. And I was like, no problem. I just fucked everybody. Like, I snorted so much dick up my nose. I can tell you, it was amazing.
And they're like, oh my God. And she's like, yeah, well, that was normal then. They're like, what? Like, she's like, are you guys just like saying it's weird that they did that? They're like, yes, yes, that's so strange. And they're all just kind of like,
hey, oh my God. Your 16-year-olds are probably fucking everybody. Okay. Sorry. Or they're at least thinking about, or they're getting close. I mean, come on. We were all 16 once. I'm not saying that everybody is not automatically fucking at 16, but that's definitely when your hormones are raging. I'm surprised that everybody's so shocked. It's weird, especially it's actually, in 2024. It's shocking to see the shocked faces.
It's actually like a pretty savvy move, I think, because it is happening. And I think I'd rather make a deal where my kids are not doing drugs and are also not getting pregnant at the same time.
And if you're not comfortable, if you're not comfortable having the conversation with them, like, listen, yeah, I'm going to get you on birth control because you think that it might tempt them to go fuck a lot. That might be true. So just start putting it in their cereal. That's what I say.
Lock them in a room. You know, Rapunzel. Great story.
Okay, so they're all freaked out by that. Well, not freaked out, but they're shocked by it. And so then Jenna is like, well, I grew up in, well, she's telling us, yeah, I grew up in California, so it was mostly about, I don't know, drinking, driving, and driving at the same time. But I mean, the idea that I would condone sex, I mean, my God, I have a 17-year-old. Like, I just can't imagine giving him, oh God, someone having sex with my son?
On a rock wall. And then the waiter comes over and goes, hi, I'm sorry to interrupt everyone. Jenna, just want you to know that everyone here on the staff, we all hate you. Okay, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for at least saying it to my face. Oh, and so does Sai. God damn it, Sai. Did you say that to them?
No, I swear to God.
Actually, Brynn told us that Sai said that.
Oh my God, Brynn, why would you do that? Why did you tell the waiter that?
So then after Rebecca tells this whole story about Brad and the virginity and yada, yada, she then goes, I still have the bed. And everyone's like, they're like, you have the bed? You kept the bed, cackling hags. And she goes, and Jenny goes, but not the mattress. She goes, no, not the mattress. It's just the bed frame. It's not sentimental. It's not like, oh, my virgin bed. I love how Becky Minkoff is like, well, you guys are all ridiculous. It's just a frame I keep in the corner.
Like circling the spot where it happened. I was here.
The bed where it happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, the spot on the bed where it happened. So then,
I was trying to make a Hamilton reference, actually. And
I didn't get it. What'd you say?
In the bed where it happened. It's more effective when you actually sing it rather than just saying in the bed where it happened.
You should have said out damn spot. If I said, hey, circle the spot where it happened, you should have been like, out damn. Then I would have gotten it. Why are you choosing less famous lines to give me?
There's a song. Not Hamlet. Hamilton.
Oh, Hamilton. I thought you said Macbeth.
And that was the other
thing. Didn't you say Macbeth?
I literally said Hamilton.
I quit. I don't even know why I'm here today.
In the bed where it happened.
Oh. Well, you know, huge show.
She's so like, then, I'm not going to miss my virgin spot.
Not going to miss my spot.
So now everybody's getting ready for bed. And Uba is talking to Aaron and Jessel in the kitchen. And she's like, so guys, what do you think about Brynn Sai? And oh my God, why are you bringing this up? isn't it over? Just let it be over, please. And Aaron's like, I think they're good. And Jess is like, do you think it's good? Is it good? Was it good? It's good, right? It's great. I love it. What are you guys talking about?
Are we talking about the Matlock reboot? So definitely not Cynthia's Bun or whatever the name of that awful restaurant was that Papa dragged me to in some outer borough. So basically Uba is, yeah, she's asking like, what do you guys think? Meanwhile, Uba, who later is going to spend a lot of energy talking about how people are talking for other people and there's so much game on the telephone, and here she is gossiping. So she goes, well, Sai said, Bryn said, I'm sorry. And Sai was like, I haven't even started speaking and that's what bothers me. And everyone's like, just now? No. Earlier? No, in the future, she said it, Aaron. it was an astral projection of what she was going to say.
Was it before or after she said she was so impressed with all the charcuterie I got?
Aaron, please.
Was it before or after Abe sold my Bitcoin without telling me?
So 4 hours ago, Sai and Uba were talking. And Sai's like,
you know, I'm never going to win with her. I'm trying to talk to you. You're dismissing everything I'm saying.
And cuts back. And she's like, honestly, like the reason I, she says, it's the honestly, girls, the reason I'm not opening up, I'm just not, it's not as much fun. I'm not as much fun as I used to be. Remember when I was so much fun? Do you remember the first time we went to the restaurant in the Hamptons and I stole the can of beans from the pantry? Hilarious times. Where has those times gone?
So it turns out Uba's only gossiping so that way she can broadcast her own displeasure with Bryn.
But also I think it's so funny that she's like, guys, hasn't anybody noticed I'm not fun? And they're like, remember? I was fun before and now I'm not fun? And they're like,
That's why I'm releasing
fun Uba, you know? No? And they're like,
that's why I'm releasing a new sauce that's not fun. I call it Uba Not. So Aaron's like, yeah, what's going on? You're not as fun. Look at me. I'm also not as fun. And she's like, because I'm scared to open up from, you know, to you bitches. You guys are twisting shit. I'm like, what do you have to open up? Is your stress arm? Is that what it is? So
she's still mad that they talked about her boyfriend, that Bryn brought up her boyfriend last year. So
everyone is pigeon.
You're so ready to open up. I mean, please, that's your point of contention.
Yeah. Everyone is pigeon. Everyone is saying something. Pigeon. Like pigeon. Jess was like, does this have to do with what Pavitt's been eating on his Instagram?
Because he has done that. It's disgusting. I said it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of a Hawaiian roll. You can call it a squab all you want to. A pigeon's a pigeon. I mean, is it better that you're eating an infant pigeon? I mean, they haven't been on the streets as much, sure, but they're still a pigeon at the end of the day.
You could put pickled carrots on it and cilantro and put it in a baguette. Sure, it might technically be a banh mi, but it's disgusting, Pavitt. Put that pigeon away.
Everyone's a what? A pigeon. And she's like, yeah. Like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's like making like talking hands. And she goes, I give you news, but I forgot. I forgot what I said. And Jessica goes, you mean the pigeon carrier? She goes, okay, fine. A pigeon carrier. They're all pigeon carrier. And she's like, I came from Africa, you know, and I thought like Amazon is here, but there's no Amazon. Everything in 3 days. Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't hear her say that. She's like, let me relate this to an antiquated form of message delivery, pigeons. So, honestly, she could have just said FedEx Ground. That would have made full sense. You know, just packages going out. You never know when you're going to get them.
Well, it's fun that she's making Dorinda make sense all this much later in time. You know?
I know.
Pigeons don't fly with eagles. Now that makes sense.
So, pigeons. Yeah. Okay. So, Bryn enters in and everyone's like, oh, we were just talking about you. Yeah. No big deal. So Bryn's like, okay, I like it.
Yeah. So Jessel's like, do you feel like anything was resolved? Like, do you feel good about Sai? Do you? We're about to break it down because it's not good. Are you ready? No one tell her Sai was talking about. Sai was talking about me? Who told you?
And Uba's like, you know, because Sai came into the room and said, you did not let her speak, that you call her manipulative. She is twisting things.
Sai and I have a friendship since, you know, since all of you guys basically since we were all cast on a show together and we've had our own friendship and we're working our way through it. And I feel like we had a great breakthrough today when she didn't get to say anything and I just said sorry in advance. And I'm like really happy with where we're at. So like, I don't know why you guys are literally sitting around talking about a mind-sized relationship when we actually made up, or I made up with her and you guys have to find something else to talk about.
Oh, really? You think I don't have anything else to talk about? Go have diarrhea already.
I'm using that.
Go get diarrhea.
And Bryn's like, okay, well, what else? And she goes, well, that is not the way I was doing it. She goes, then what else? She goes, oh, my God. I'm just so fucking worried. All of you guys, you know, when I'm talking, you guys are all lies. And Bryn just goes, Uva, she tells us,
Uva, go to bed.
You told Jenna that Sai hates you. Jenna that says yes and then deny. All this shit is just not cool. So Bryn is basically like, I don't need Uba in my ear talking about this. Like talking about like, oh, Sai's hurt, you know. And Uba's like, I know what Sai's been trying to do. She's been trying to sit down with Bryn and explain her feelings. And Bryn just brushes her off, you know. And Uba's like, I just feel so caught between. I'm like, you literally put yourself in this position. You opened up this entire conversation, Uba.
Yeah. So Bryn's like, whatever. We're just different personalities. And she's like, well, I'm just saying what she said. And it's totally fine when Uba does it, of course. And mm-hmm. So they go back and forth for a while. And then Bryn's like,
well, boo-boo, she's talked about me. She said horrible shit about me. She's yelled at me in public. I mean, don't even get me started.
And she goes, well, then go tell her that. Oh, my God. So they'll fight more. So then you can be more upset that they're fighting. I mean, it's a cycle. Let's break the cycle, guys.
Yeah, Bryn's like,
don't go in there with me because I'll get mad. You want to talk about shit? You don't.
And Uba's like, I'm not going to start because I don't know. She goes,
no, you don't want to. You don't want to. Everyone should be very thankful that I'm super cool and letting shit fly. And she
goes, Nobody's thankful. You don't let shit fly. We're not thankful for you because you're not doing that anyway.
So Bryn's like, it's not even your fight, you know? And then Uba's like, if you're mad at Bryn, if you say mean to Bryn, she sweeps it under the rug. And then she finds another conflict with you that relates with someone else so she can be a victim and make a big deal. She never wants to be on the front lines. It's like, well, first of all, nobody wants to be on the front lines, okay? Mm-hmm. And why are you choking? Uba's like,
carbon monoxide, bitch.
Then why are you coughing too?
I actually just turned on the gas in Aaron's house.
Aaron's like, guys, is someone trying to burn the charcuterie?
I'm coughing because I ate too much charcuterie that I provided.
So Bryn's like, I apologized, you know, and she said it was fine. Thank you for your apology. And then Jenna looked at her like, are you going to apologize to Bryn? And sorry, everybody, excuse me. And she said, I don't regret anything I did. So you want to go there? She goes, wait a minute, that happened today? And they're like, yeah, that happened. She's like, oh my God. So I'm not getting the full story from anybody on this cast. God damn it.
Then Aaron weighs in to us. She goes, I'm annoyed with everyone because I got a text from Sai and it was clear to me that she apologized. So Sai's text was basically like,
I want to take a moment to express my sincerest apologies for the way things unfolded during our night out together when the disagreement between Bryn and I was completely uncalled for, and I take full responsibility for my part in escalating the situation, even though she is a total bitch and really annoying. Furthermore, I do hate Jenna, but please don't tell her I said that. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, is Jenna on this text? Because it's a group text, right? So, because she's like, to Raquel and Rebecca, I hope I didn't ruin your evening, and I promise this group of amazing women, this group is an amazing group, and, you know, most of them, without fancy cars, will probably let you drive. Not me, though, bitches.
Aaron goes, so watching Bryn and Sai communicate is like watching aliens on Mars be like, beady boop boop, bada boop boop, bada boop, beady beady bop bop, beady beady bop bop. Ba-ba-da-ba. Is that J-Lo? So then Bryn is like,
maybe get the facts before you start, Uba.
And Uba's like, I got the fact. And she's like,
no, you didn't. You hear someone doing a violin. That's a fake violin.
She goes, violin is my favorite fucking thing to play.
And Bryn goes, there's other instruments. There's better instruments. I was like, oh my God, now you're coming for the violinists?
Viola players are like, please say that we're better. Please.
Like, girl, everybody's hating you right now. And you know that there's one violinist listening on the train who's like, I was her last fan.
Yitzhak Perlman is furious. He's like, I am such a blind stan.
How dare you? Forget it. Guess who is no longer mother?
I like Uba. So then she goes, Uba's like, Rin goes, there are other instruments. There are better instruments. And Uba goes, no, but violin is better. And Aaron goes, I like violins. And Uba goes, I like violins too. I'm like, you guys,
it's a violin,
you guys are taking a very literal take on this metaphor here.
That's what they do. Everything's about one little word. Now it's like, well, why are we talking about violins? I love violins. I love violins. How could you come for violins?
I feel like I'm on Mars watching two aliens play violins. Like,
and Brim's like, everyone needs to chill the fuck out. I'm as chill as a fucking cucumber.
I do not like cucumber. I like cucumber.
I like cucumber. Me too.
She doesn't like cucumber or violinists.
I once saw a violin being played with a cucumber. It still sounded good.
I once saw a cartoon cucumber playing a violin, and it was very good. It was voiced by Yitzhak Perlman.
Oh my gosh. They just keep going back and forth and back and forth. And then finally, Brynn just starts going, da 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 da. And Uba goes, no, 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 no. And they Brynn is imitating Uba. And now it's just, now the we're most just important. down to the Sheree fight in Atlanta. The Sheree and Marlo fight.
But we get to the most important thing, which is, we are done or Jenna's going to leave. And Jenna's like closing her door like, I am too wealthy to hear these voices at night.
This is why I tried to stay in my own home.
I'm going to sleep in my Bentley.
Yeah. So the next morning, yeah, Jenna stays there this time. Crazy. So next morning, Aaron and Brett are like topless, or they're in bed and Brent's topless. She's like, oh my God, are we lesbians now? Ow, ow, ow. So then, you know, morning stuff. Rebecca and Jessel are making jokes to Pavid about sleeping with each other. Like, maybe I can get a baby girl from her. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not a baby girl pigeon, or Pavit will eat it on a bun and put it on his Instagram. Sorry, squab.
So Aaron and Brynn are in bed. Aaron's like, last night was fun. Isn't this a fun house full of exciting drama that creates memorable TV moments? And Brynn's like, yeah, dinner was hilarious. Yeah, dinner was hilarious at Calissa. What a great dinner.
Huh. So Sai spent $1,800 on some kind of a light pad thing, and it's like, astronauts use it to heal. And we find out, Uba's like, why would you spend that money? And Sai's like, you spend money on going to the spa every week, so what's that?
She's like, well, you know what else? Also sometimes at the spa, I listen to cucumber music. So suck it.
We all know best spa water is actually not with cucumber, but with violin. So Aaron's like, so how did you feel about last night? I think the game of telephone just needs to stop. Words get twisted. I think we should all just be more direct with each other. And Brynn's like,
welcome to my world.
He's like, are you twisted or are you the twister?
A little bit of both.
Well, at least you admit it.
And then Sai's in bed going, oh, they twist my words. You know, I was like, listen, I can't open up because you're like, you know, I was like, you twist things. All of you guys, you're pigeon with no right address. You're just pigeon flying around with no address, leaving my food on other people's stoop.
That's DoorDash.
Whatever.
You know what you're like? You're like DoorDash when you're at a friend's house and you enter in their address, but then like two nights later you're at home and you order new food, but you send it to your friend's house by accident. That's what you all are, but you're also pigeons doing it.
So then Brynn goes to Raquel and Jenna's room and wakes Jenna up with a kiss and humps her in bed.
Basically gay.
And then Uba is still calling everyone pigeon. Pigeons, pigeons, pigeons. And then the delivery guy from Provisions arrives. Says, see, this is pigeon with a dress. this pigeon knows what to do.
Right.
This is a good pigeon.
Yeah. So they go out, eat outside and talk about Raquel's Porsche. Is it a turbo?
It's not. They didn't have any when she was getting hers. So it's just a regular. Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's
how could they cast her? She didn't have turbo.
Yeah.
So then they're just like, they're all sitting outside. They're joking. Bryn's like saying, like, do we think, you know, Jenna's Bentley's going to break down? You know, call back to her a vintage car. And Jenna's like, I'm sure, but I will only travel with Aaron, and that way she can get me an Uber home. Hey, wait, there's a note from the guy who delivered provisions that says, Jenna, we all hate you here too. Wow.
See, Cy, this is taking responsibility for things that you say. I'm just saying. So then Bryn's like, see, so Jenna does have money, everybody. And Rebecca goes, yeah, are you looking at her wrist? Because, of course, Jenna's also flashing her wrist diamonds. And right. Rebecca's like, yeah, the girl has money, okay.
Oh, yeah, she always wears diamonds to breakfast.
And Aaron goes, yeah, she just doesn't like to pay for Ubers.
And then Jenna's like, I was just making sure Aaron could afford it. And everyone's like, it's going to become a thing. You know, Aaron's going to be like, did she know about the Bitcoin that Abe the Babe sold? Did she know that I'm not as rich as I thought I was? That was pretty rude of her to do that at breakfast at my house, my iconic mother house.
So Uber goes, you see, this is why Sai's not here. Oh, okay. See, you guys, this is why Sai's not here, because of how you're acting. And she's so tired of being used as a pawn. It's like, we're talking about Ubers. We're making Uber jokes.
I know. And like, Jess is like, a pun? Here's a pun for you. Poverty is stupid. Was that a pun?
Is that a pun?
Is that a pun?
No, a pawn. She said a pawn. Oh, a pawn? Yeah. I'll never go into those kind of shops. They're disgusting, really. I mean, who wants to go on a shop with jail bars on the window? Not me.
The only one who'd go in there would be Pavitt, but only if you heard they were serving fried chicken in the back.
And so Uber's like, yeah, pawn. And Justice says, wait, who's using her as a pawn? Is she just a shrimp now waiting to be eaten? It's a prawn. Oh, right. I forgot what we were talking about.
What about Kurt Russell's girlfriend? That's Goldie Hawn. Who? So Uber's like, everything she says gets twisted. And yesterday we were told that you, Raquel, that you didn't even let we didn't let you drive first, but she thought you were going to drive your car. And Raquel's like, yeah, no, that's I know that's what she thought. And Uber's like, well, I'm telling you, in this group, there's a lot of miscommunicated.
And Brent's like, well, literally,
maybe it's because people are using spokespeople and not talking for themselves. Where is Sai? She can't talk? Aaron said it's Sai. It's between them. Aaron said it to Sai. So it's between them. And she's like, I'm not a spokesperson. She goes, oh.
She goes, I'm actually, and Jessica goes, a client.
Brent's like, you're literally a spokesperson. I am violin. I am lead by, I'm first violin in her symphony.
And, because, and the song I'm playing up is called Shut the Fuck Up. And so Brent's like, oh, here we go. So Jessel is like, there's definitely underlying emotions here. Uber doesn't trust Bryn largely due to the Mr. CT factor. And then we see at the season finale last year when she says, oh my God, we heard you're dating a rich guy in Connecticut. And then it all went downhill. Yeah. You can't even talk about dating a rich guy in Connecticut. Give me a fucking break.
Well, I can't think that
do
it was...
this. I feel like producers need to step in and be like, you can't do this. You have to talk about what's going on at least the most very basic level, or you can get the fuck out of here.
Well, man. I mean, she is talking about this guy, but I get why Uber was frustrated then. But I also feel like there's been a reunion. It's time to move on. This is not enough. Right. This is not.
Yeah, I understand that then at the point, but it's like a year later.
It's not feud-worthy. It's rude-worthy. So then Uber's like, you know, I was actually the person who was supposed to drive here. So I was included in this. And when she delivered the message, it was to Sai and I. So I have the right to talk about Raquel having car sickness. And the only reason I spoke to Bryn the way I did, she was condescending towards me. And when you're condescending, I will meet you with disrespect also.
Yeah. So, and I agree that Bryn is being condescending with her, but like, you're dressing somebody down. So what?
And they're also having like a nice moment.
People have the right to be condescending if you're like, if they're in the process of being dressed down. You know what I mean?
But also, like, Uber, for as much as she's like, oh, pigeon, pigeon, pigeons, no one actually saying what's on their mind. What's really happening is that that's she's annoyed at Raquel because she feels like Raquel put her on blast, right? Like in a way that was like unwarranted. And instead of sitting down and being like, you know, Raquel, you know, when you text something like that, it makes me look like a shitty person when that's really not what happened. Like, that's actually what her beef is. But instead, they're all joking about the Uber situation. And she's like, ah, this is what's wrong. Pigeons, like Raquel says this about me. I'm like, well, so you're, again, using another situation to try to just air your own grievances. Now, I love that she's calling everyone pigeons. I think it's hilarious. But I just feel like she's also being a little hypocritical in the process.
So then Sai finally comes out. It's like, look at me, I'm sporty fucking Spice. And Uber's like, don't say I'm a spokesperson. And so Sai's like, oh God, what's going on? And Brynn just goes, Uber's your spokesperson.
And Rebecca's like, she's speaking in your behalf. And so
everyone has a wrong address. Everyone tells things that are not true. Everyone misinterprets things. We need to clear our ears out or something, you know. Pigeons. Clean your ears, pigeons.
Pigeons don't have ears.
She goes, I think we need to be respectful in our language. And it was like, no, pigeon. And she goes, well, we don't need you to yell, shut the fuck up to people. She goes, I'm not talking to you. She goes, well, you need to watch your language. No, I'm not watching my language. Well, watch your language. You need to be respectful. You can't yell, fuck you. She's like, oh, well, you are the biggest pigeon out of all of them here, including Aaron, Jessel, and Brynn. Okay, Aaron, other big pigeon, but not as big as you. Jessel, smaller pigeon. And, oh, sorry. Actually, I was not even pointing out to anyone. I was misreading the notes. But either way, all pigeons, every single one of you.
Yes. So Brynn's like,
I don't exist in worlds where it's like, fuck you, like, that's trashy. That's just, like, trashy,
Yeah, I love Brynn. Like, she got clocked by on Twitter for acting like she's, like, all hoity-toity, and she's like, oh my god, classy, etc. When then she's like, you know, she just says so many things like, I'm wet or whatever. And that's not slut shaming. It's just showing that like she picks and chooses when she's going to be like, you know, a classic lady, you know? So, right.
So then Brynn just keeps saying, let's watch our language because that's all she's got, you know? But this is a stupid fight. So I'm honestly really on no one's team. I'm just like, please end it. So then Uber won't. She's like, don't tell me what to do. And then Brynn's like, you can't scream at me. Just acting all victimized. And then Sai's like, pineapple. And then Uber stops. And she goes, she like takes a breath and she goes, pineapple, that's for sure. And Jenna's like, wait a minute. What's pineapple? Like, wait a minute. Pineapple, yeah. Like, you guys have a safe word or what? Dun, dun, dun. And Brynn goes, what is this? Pavlov's dog? That's not what Pavlov's dog is, Brynn. I love Brynn, the fucking book collector, is using every phrase today completely incorrectly. Pavlov's dog is when you ring a bell and the dog goes to eat.
Well, I guess that she's sort of saying, like, if you say the word, that Uba has, like, an instinctual response to it. But either way, Jessel goes, didn't Tom Cruise use a pineapple when he was stranded on Castaway, sending his child off to a school that Papa won't let our children go to? Wasn't that a thing? Wasn't Wilson a pineapple?
Tom Cruise stuck on an island with a pineapple. Can't end well. They're like, it was Tom Hanks. Cruise. She's like, who's that?
Does he have children that go to prestigious schools?
So then Brynn's like, oh, so we're yelling safe words? She goes, no, safe word is for sex. Am I having sex? And Aaron's like, well, someone's getting fucked. That was a good one, guys. Come on. That was a good one.
Hold on, let me call Abe the babe. So
Jessel's like, well, what's your safe word during sex, Aaron? And she's like, well, it was Bitcoin, but that's kind of over now.
Jessel's like, you know what my safe word is? Zucchini. Everyone's least favorite vegetable. And Jenna's like, I can't imagine saying zucchini during sex. It's not happening.
So it's just like, okay. Everyone's just kind of trying to get over it, but it's awkward. So Aaron takes Uba to go for a walk. And Aaron's like, listen, you know, you're really taking the size stuff into yourself because you care, right? She goes, no, I'm not taking it in. She goes, well, I just don't want there to be a blow up and it's happening, you know? And I think Brynn, she's going to blow up soon. She goes, you know what? Good luck. Blow up, pigeon. So ultimately, whoever's wrong or right, that shit's funny. I don't care. So fun episode, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Great times. We will talk to you next time. Lots more Housewives coming up. It's a crazy week on Bravo. Check this video out on Patreon with all our videos. Also, our Below Deck bonus episodes over there. And we'll talk to you next time. Kai.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Ringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.